best of
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose,
Alakai Harley. Welcome back to FUBAR Radio.
Hey. For me, the only thing is that, you know, with the whole female thing, I don't want it to be like, oh my gosh, girl power. That is what it is, but we don't have to like really say
it.
Just like smother it all over there, because then it becomes cheesy.
Yeah.
So I want it to be like, forget the gender for a second, make it an amazing, it's a hit.
So,
and it's a hit because it's a hit, that, not because we're girls.
But that is really interesting what you've just said, because I call myself a female DJ because it's putting me in a niche that is beneficial for me. But it's interesting that you don't want to use that niche, because you're like, nah, we're just good quality performers and artists.
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
DDG, welcome to the UK. How are you enjoying your first time in the UK so far?
I like it.
Yeah?
It's nice out here. I know y'all probably get super cold though.
We do, but we do have a lot of jumpers in the UK. We just wear a lot of them, like at once, so three or four.
What's jumpers?
Like, I don't know what you call it in American. What's jumper in American? Sweater.
Sweater. Jumper. I didn't know that.
That's... Now you know.
Okay.
I'm going to teach you so many things in this interview about UK life.
Okay.
But you've only been here for the night. You went out and had a nice time last night.
Yeah, it was cool.
Are we treating you well?
Yeah. I love it out here. Yeah, it's nice people. I like nice people.
We are nice, aren't
we? Yeah, super nice.
On that note, we're uber polite, and your EP is called Sorry for the Holder.
Yep.
So British people love that, because we say sorry all the time.
Really?
Constantly, for no reason. So you're going to definitely vibe in the UK, because people love a little sorry.
Okay.
But who are you saying sorry to?
My fans.
Because they've been waiting so
long.
They've
been waiting for the song Hold Up. So I say, you know what? Sorry for the hold up.
And have they accepted your apology?
I think they did. Yeah, I think they liked the song a lot.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
You've amassed a lot of views.
Yeah.
And a lot of interaction. Like, you have a really great relationship with your fans, in terms of the fact that you kind of seem to conversate with them constantly.
Yeah.
How is that? Because I know you started off making YouTube videos, but also at the same time doing diss tracks. So you've always worked in
music.
But having to do that every day, uploading videos and taking the time, because it does, it's time consuming. It's also mentally quite consuming. How do you deal with that?
I mean, it's just like with any, I just get motivated. If I don't upload a video, people ask me on Twitter, when you gonna upload? Blah, 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 blah. Because I'm like people TV. Like, I'm the channel that they watch.
What about Christmas Day? Do you give yourself ever a day off?
Nah, I film Christmas too. It's a 24/7 job.
Oh my God.
Just do what I do.
What about music made you want to kind of dive in head first? Because I know you already had a great fan base, but to take on music is quite a big feat, and then to succeed at it as well.
I mean, I always knew I was good at making music. I always knew I can rap. One thing I did discover about myself, I can kind of sing, because my biggest song is a singing song. Really, I want to do a bunch of different things and see what people really, really like.
And what have you found so far?
So far, I think people like when I sing.
Ooh.
But I want to see what they like, which style of rap they like. You know what I mean? So I got a project coming out this fall.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about that.
Bunch of different stuff on it. Completely different.
Is it a mixtape or is it like an album?
I would call it a mixtape, but it is over 10 songs. So it's probably like 10 to 15 songs. So it's going to be lit. I'm excited.
And can you tell us any little tidbits about what we can expect from the mixtape album?
I mean, it's a few features on there. It's a lot of different types of music. You know, you might hear some pop on there.
You might hear
a little R&B, a little bit of rap on there. You know what I mean? It's not really one set category, but...
Well, genres are kind of irrelevant now, aren't they?
Yeah, it's irrelevant. You might hear a little country, a little rock. I'm just playing.
Please, I would love that.
That'd be dope, though.
I would love that. You've got to switch it up, though.
Yeah, maybe.
Keep everyone guessing.
Maybe one day.
This weekend, you're playing at Reading and Leeds Festival now.
These
are pretty epic, big festivals in the UK, and a lot of people go down. It's just the crowd and the vibe and the energy is very big the whole time. It must be quite exciting for you to come to the UK for the first time and be going straight to perform at one of our most iconic festivals.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's lit. It's super duper lit. When I was told that I was doing this, I was like, oh, that's, no, I'm not. And then I'm actually doing it. So I'm in London. This is my very, very first time here.
And we're going to look after you. But have you been to you obviously never been to the UK before, but have you been to festivals in America as a punter, like just to go and have a listen to the music?
In America, yeah, I've been to like Rolling Loud. That's probably the only one I've been to.
Well, all I can tell you is it's going to be quite a shock at Reading, because it's very different.
For real?
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I'm excited.
There's a lot going on. People get Larry and they have a good time, and I feel like you're going to vibe off that.
What do Larry mean?
I love how much I'm teaching you. Larry is like when people lose lose, like go like mad, go mental and be like, yeah, come on. Like,
oh, they get, like, so they get lit.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Lit is an exact, okay, like, yeah, cool. Lit or Larry, same thing. Larry can be a bad thing, but it's a good thing in this sense.
Okay, cool.
While you're at the festival, though, obviously, festivals, bad Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
How do you cope when you're in a situation where you have bad Wi-Fi?
I'm international, too, so my bill gonna get ran up.
Ouch.
Yeah. But, you know, you got to deal with it. I need my phone. I can't live without my phone.
But is there ever scenarios where you're like, I need to upload this video and I can't do it?
Oh, that's what we're talking about. Man, I don't know. I'm going to just have to figure it out.
Reading Festival may be the day that DDG does not post yeah. on YouTube.
Yeah, bro. I missed yesterday, actually.
Because you're flying. I did.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you're getting
I'm
lit.
Disappointed in myself.
Don't worry, because you're going to give us more. No, but I bet your fans give you quite a lot of shit when you don't.
Yeah, they do. That's what it's like. You know, I can't not upload. I get in trouble.
Obviously, that can be overwhelming and stuff. But is it still as amazing as when you first started getting these kind of hits? Do you still feel as amazing now as you did when you first started getting big hits on your channels and on your music?
Yeah, it's still the same feeling. It's still the same feeling. It's dope. I love it.
Do you talk to your fans a lot?
Yeah, every day, especially on Twitter.
What kind of stuff do you talk to them about? Do they DM you or is it like on time?
I don't usually like doing DMs. I want people to see that I'm a cool person. I'm open and you can talk to me. You know what I mean? So I like to do it like publicly, like quote a tweet or something. And then people like, go ahead, respond to me.
Well, I was going to say, because if you try and respond to everyone, you would never leave.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really, really hard.
DDG, it's been such a pleasure. One last one. When I Googled DDG, in the UK, the description of DDG is drop dead gorgeous. Is that why you called yourself DDG?
I wish, but it's just, you know, it's just my initials. But I mean, you can think I'm drop dead gorgeous.
Listen,
that's cool.
You can take that if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to take it. Yeah. So, yeah.
DDG, a.k.a. Drop Dead Gorgeous, thank you so much for joining us at FUBAR Radio, and we'll catch you at Reading Festival.
Yeah, we're going to be lit. Let's do it.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Callum McSwiggan.
I am joined by the incredible poet and author, Dean Atta. You were recently on the cover of Attitude magazine.
I was on the front cover with my partner, Tom, and we were kissing, and they wanted to do a cover. It was a bit terrifying.
Yeah, I was like, about to say.
Doing the shoot, we shot outside, and we had people, like, honking, some in support, some in, like, with negative comments to make.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Someone on a bike shout said, ugh. Someone in a car just shouted the word gay. And I was just like, yeah, like, that's the point. And it was really interesting because the whole team doing the shoot was like, this is the reason we're doing this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
we need to confront these things.
Every Wednesday.
Callum McSwiggan.
From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
I am joined in the studio by the absolutely stunning Teddy Edwards.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Politest guest we've had at FUBAR Radio.
I actually got called out for not doing it before, so that's why I make
really?
An effort to do it now.
Who? You can't say. I bet you can't say.
My ex-girlfriend's friends.
Oh, well, fuck them. That yeah. She's an ex for a reason, is what I'm going to say to that. So, Teddy, I wanted to ask you one thing about, like, LGBT plus nightlife, etc. And that is, we are noticing this problem of losing venues across the board. So not just venues for queer women, but just, you know, LGBT plus venues in general. I know there's a huge yeah. decline in the number of LGBT plus venues. And although we do constantly have new spaces opening up, like Lick, for instance, mm-hmm. which is incredible, I think in general, we're losing them.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas of why?
My kind of theory is that all these gay bars, especially in London, have got so comfortable knowing that they're the only place for people to go. So they've never really put that much effort into it. Like, lots of them don't even have a DJ on a Friday and Saturday night. So then these events have come along, like private events, where it's made for people to have the best time ever. So people are going to go to events rather than going to these permanent venues.
So you think that, you know, these venues themselves...
I've had no problems with people coming to my nights.
Yeah, because you make them baller.
Yeah.
I love that. That's really interesting. I never thought about it that way before.
It's like one of the bars I know of.
I can see you want to name it, but you can. I'm not going to stop you. It's up to you.
I've already got in trouble for talking about them before. They've been running for like a long time. And still, like, even now, like years later, it's still the same crowd and they're like older women.
Mm.
Like, they're not doing anything that young people would be interested in. So obviously nobody's going to go to it. You need to just like... I think people are realising that if you're gay, you don't only have to listen to pop and disco, house. Like, all these hip-hop and bashment nights are coming out that people actually want to listen to on.
Absolutely. And I know that whenever I hear about a new queer night, I'm always, like, the first
yeah.
along. I'm like, oh, I want to check this out. And don't always like them, but
well,
I always
like
go
it's like Sink the Pink.
Yeah.
I've never been, but they get, like, thousands of people every month.
They do, and there's a
and
real...
Those kind of people are now going there instead of going to the bars in Soho because they think, well, these people are actually making an effort.
Absolutely, and I adore Sink the Pink. We've had them on the show before.
Oh, really?
And they do so many, you know, they have their club nights, but they also do like special performances. They do a big street party every year.
Yeah,
they do
that.
At last Christmas, I think for the past two Christmases, they've done like a Christmas show that you can go along and see, and you know, like a proper theatre production.
Yeah, I thought that was just for guys until recently. I guess it is really. It's mainly guys, isn't it?
That's a good question. I don't actually know the answer to that. I must say that every time I've gone along, it's been pretty much men. But there have been a few women there, but I would say it is majority men. Whether it's intended to be that way or if that's just kind of the way. I think it's just kind of the way it's gone.
Yeah, I think it's just the way it is.
Which is a shame. And again, it's that thing that seems to happen over and over again, is that, you know, gay men tend to dominate these spaces.
I just think lesbians and gay men want very different things.
Yeah.
So it's just natural that they're going to separate a little bit.
Absolutely. And that's okay. You know, I think a lot of people think, oh no, we have to create these venues for everyone. And yeah, it's amazing to try and do that. But sometimes I do think there are very different interests. And it's okay that, you know, it's okay to create specific bars for lesbian women.
I think so as well.
And specific bars for gay men. That's absolutely fine. We're going to play a game now about sex toys, just to throw that on you. So we've got some names of potential sex toys here, and we have to guess which ones of these are real toys and which ones of these have just been fabricated. There's no multiple choice.
50-50.
We don't make it easy here at FUBAR Radio. We don't do that. I don't know the answers either, though, so we're a team. So our first one is called I Rub My Ducky.
I kind of feel like that's real.
Yeah. I can see it, but I feel like it's like a rubber duck, but with like some kind of, maybe it's like got a dildo attached to it, or maybe it's like a vibrator situation, like the little beak or something, kind of like the rabbit ears. Yeah. Very much think that that.
Okay, I'd go with that's real.
I think I'm going to agree, actually, because I can visualize it. I can already see it in my head. I can see the packaging. I can see kind of how I think it would work.
I think it's so out there, the name, that they'd put it on the list to try and trick us.
I mean, wait until you see the names of these other ones.
Wait, when do we find out if we're right or not?
Now. So we're going to commit to saying that we think this is real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree. It is absolutely real. Oh. It is a combination of an innocent children's bathtub toy and a dildo. It also comes in travel size, which is handy for when you're on the move, because you need to get your jollies somewhere and you don't always have a partner with you.
Can't
I know I certainly
don't.
Imagine
going through airport security with that.
Yeah, I always feel like I've travelled with like sex toys in my bag before. And
I got caught.
Did you?
Yeah, it was in my hand luggage.
And what did they say? Were they just chill about it?
It was really awkward.
Yeah, I feel like in my head, I'm like, I'd just like style it out and be like super confident. But I think in reality,
I always pretend that mine's a massager if anybody like weird sees it.
Don't really think that works if it's like a rabbit or something like that. Okay, the next one is the Area 51 Love Doll. I think this is real. I think it's like a full like blow up alien type situation, and it's either got a penis or it's got a vagina or maybe both. And yeah, it's just like a sex doll, but it's shaped like an alien.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think this has to exist. We are saying that it is real. It is real. The aliens are coming. Wow, what a terrible pun. You can have incredible sex with an alien. It's pussy shaped mouth, three supple breasts, suction cup fingers, and ass-shaped ears make it the kinkiest love slave in the galaxy. We've got a picture of it here, and wow, it really is an alien, and they've really taken advantage
of
the fact that it's an alien too. The mouth makes me uncomfortable. The three breasts
so
make me
uncomfortable.
Oh, and it comes with free alien lube. Very generous.
Oh, I kind of want it now.
Which sold out, so you can't have one, I'm afraid.
That's such a shame. I have to try and get another sponsor.
I love that. I would like them to do a male one as well that has like three dick, a dick for a mouth, and yeah, spend my money on that. I'm really painting myself as a sex fanatic today. Yeah. Don't know what's come over me this week. Okay, our next one. Oh, I hate the name of this one. A clittle less conversation, a clittle more action.
Well, it could be a gag.
I don't understand how
I
that would work.
No.
I think no as well. I really don't want this to exist because that's really poor marketing. So either
people have really bad business ideas.
I'm either insulting the owners of this sex toy.
Going on Dragon's Den with that.
I'm out, yeah.
Deborah Meaden would not be impressed.
I think Deborah Meaden would go for the Area 51 Love Doll, though.
Oh, 100%.
She'd be all in. She'd be like, you know what? You can have all my money.
And for
0%. For 0%. I want to be on board with this.
FUBAR Radio presents. access all areas.
Lauren Platt, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, great to have you in. X Factor's Lauren Platt.
You feel grown up. I feel like your auntie.
What about this rumour of X Factor All-Stars this year?
Well, X Factor All-Stars. So
Louis Walsh has already confirmed some names.
Yes.
I know.
Yours has been bandied around.
I heard that you have signed on the dotted line.
Well, I wouldn't say the dotted line, but it's being thrown around a little bit. Ooh. And from my point of view, I'll be honest, it's like going back to a holiday destination that you love. Do you know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't I do it again?
Every Thursday from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Harley, hello.
Hi.
I'm going to say fresh from Love Island, but it's not quite anymore,
is it? I know,
it's
been a month now, I think.
And
actually,
a lot has happened to you in that month.
yeah, a lot of things have happened in that month.
How do you look back on your time in there? How long were you in there for in the end?
Oh, God, it was 9 days, I think. But honestly, 9 days is enough.
Very intense, yeah.
Nine days is enough. But I look back and I just think of, like, really happy, positive memories. There's nothing I would change at all. I was completely myself in there. So,
well, that's really good.
Yeah.
How do you feel about all the stuff that happened with David now? Because obviously he broke up and kind of all...
With Chris,
sorry. Sorry.
You just had David on, sorry, that's how you think about it, isn't it?
With Chris, yeah.
I was like, oh God, I think you've got the wrong show.
Let me just refer to my notes. Yeah, with Chris, sorry.
I mean, the thing is, with me and Chris, we had so much fun, but then we just realised we were just better off as friends.
The show kind of pushes you together, right, in a way that you don't necessarily feel that when you're in the outside world.
Yeah, like I said, when we were in there, it was amazing, and when we came out, it was amazing, but then we had such busy schedules, and we both realised that. To better to break it off now, because obviously, at that point, we'd only been together for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So if we were to break off then, we could still be friends and we can still go out and we can still go for meals and whatnot. But if it was to get any further, then you kind of, that's when it gets a little bit intense, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I guess so. There was a bit more of a spotlight on you because it was like the first couple to break up.
Exactly, yeah. The first couple to break up went to us, so...
Were you kind of prepared for how big it would be that people were talking about it?
Do you know what? I knew Love Island was big, but I didn't realise how big it was until I came out myself. And I was just like, wow, this is intense.
Yeah. Oh. And what about the reaction to your breakup? Or were you expecting more?
No, I didn't expect anything from it. And do you know what? I just kind of didn't want to resist. Because obviously
enough.
You're still trying to like deal with things like that yourself, like come to terms with it. Almost,
yeah, yeah, of course.
And you don't really want to read anything about it. So I was just leaving all the comments, not reading them.
There was some discussion about when you were at the final and you weren't sitting together and blah blah.
That wasn't anything to do with us.
Really?
Like, we got made a seating plan and poor Callum was in the middle of
yeah.
it and we were looking at each other, talking to each other, and Callum was like, can we swap over? And then we swapped and they were like, no, back to the other side.
That's so
and
we're weird.
Like, right, okay. So that was nothing to do with us.
Okay, fine. So you hadn't had some big fallout before?
No, there was no fallout, no nothing. Like, okay. we spent the whole night together, so yeah, it was nothing to do with us then.
And you are still in touch now? Are you still talking?
Yeah, we're still in touch. We're really on good terms. I have a lot of time for Chris.
Are you looking for love elsewhere?
I'm happy being single at the moment.
Okay.
You know, I'm just enjoying myself. I'm having fun. But
you get lots of attention. I bet that's the one thing once you come out. That's a yes.
I mean, I don't kiss and tell, but it is nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there someone else on the scene, maybe?
There's no one else on the scene at the minute, no.
Well, I mean, because I imagine once you come out, you know, you're getting flooded with offers for all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe you'll meet someone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm very much having fun at the moment, just focusing on my career and focusing on myself. And if someone comes along, it's just a bonus, isn't it? I'm not looking for it. Let's
fine,
just say that.
Fine. What are you looking for then? What are you hoping to do now that you're out in the world?
I really want to go into like fashion.
Okay.
You know, Instagram.
What kind of thing? Okay.
Things like that. It's really fun and it's what I enjoyed doing before, but I just didn't have the time to do it because obviously I was an estate agent before, but I did influencing on the side.
Yeah.
So now that I've actually got the time to do it and focus on it, it's really exciting.
So you're not an estate agent anymore?
Not an estate agent anymore. I mean, I may go back into
for
that.
For the moment.
I may go back into that depending on how it goes, but you know.
Well, that's the thing, because you don't really know when you come out of Love Island how it's going to end up in a year's time, you know? And that's been a real struggle for some people that come out of Love Island, as we've seen over the years. Like, do you think you're fairly headstrong enough to know what's kind of going
absolutely.
On?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've always said, and I always said at the start, that if you can't see yourself in a normal job again, don't do it, because you can't expect all these big things. Like, you're going in there for the experience. You're not going in there for the opportunity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it is a dating show at the end of the day. It's not a job.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And you obviously knew some of the islanders before you went in, didn't you?
I did.
How are you all taking it now? What's the discussion like?
I know.
Who are you chatting with? inside what's going on.
Yeah, so honestly, like some of my best friends, like Ellie from last year, she was she's like my best friend, she's like my sister. So my mum and her mum, they were like friends from nursery. So we've grew
That's
up
insane.
Together. Yeah, it's crazy. Then they just so happened to fall pregnant at the same time. And they're like, oh, well, they can be best friends now.
And then you both do Love Island.
Yeah,
like, what the hell?
It's crazy. We are literally like more like sisters than anything. And Samira from last year, she's amazing. She's my neighbour. Like, she lives the house down me. So I'm always around her house.
Is there a bit of a Love Island family amongst all the people that have finished, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone has got everyone's back and best interest at heart. It is like a little family. Like, I could ring anyone up from the show and be, look, I've got this issue, I've got this problem, can you help us out and give us a bit of advice? And not one person would say no. So
that's
it's definitely
so nice.
A family, yeah.
My producer just put on the screen that you did Supermarket Suite. Is that right? I'm having a thing saying it has been announced that it's a Love Island special.
Oh, it has been announced. Yes, I did Supermarket Suite.
You're having a panic there.
Yeah,
that
I
they
was
were
like, oh my God, I'm going to get such a slap on the wrist from ITV too.
It's already been filmed, so you can't. This is what, they're not
exactly,
going to kick you off, are they?
Out.
What was that like though? Because to be honest, it was such an institution of a show when I was growing up, you know, like, and now Ryland's doing it. The clips I've seen, it looks actually pretty similar to the old style one.
It was, do you know what? It was a load of fun and it was really, really good. We had such a good time.
You had to do it with Chris though?
Yes. We were still together though then.
Okay, fine.
We were still together. Okay. Nothing had been...
So when people are watching, they'll be like, oh, this must have been filmed quite soon after Love Island.
Yeah, we weren't broke up by that point. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
But that's good though. It means it shows you're getting work coming out of it. You're doing a bit more TV and stuff.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I can see you presenting.
Really?
You've got a very natural style.
Oh, wow. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, well, cool. I'm glad it's going so well for you.
Thank
that's
you
awesome.
So, so much.
And thank you so much for coming in. Really
no
appreciate
problem.
It.
Anytime.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Time. Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
The fucking king of R&B for me, Donald Jones, man.
You know? Appreciate it. Love ain't going nowhere. You know, that's universal. That's God.
Yeah.
So that's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? We can all get sex and all of that. You know, we can talk about that, but the love, the makeup, relationships, breakup, those things, that's going to happen.
Yeah. So my friend Millie says, I want to know why he doesn't make music for us anymore. Who have I got to sleep with to get a 2019 joint?
I don't know who you have to sleep with, but I mean, you will get a 2019 joint, that's for sure.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
All the way from NYC, he Hello. Goes by the name Concept. Yeah. How's it going, sir?
It is beautiful. It is an honor to be here with you guys. Thank you guys so much.
This isn't the only reason you're over on these shores, is it?
It is not.
It's not just to come and see us, although we'd like to
But this is one of my favorite parts for sure, though.
Ah, fair play.
I came over here, so I just released my new album. It is called Champagne Connie. It is out everywhere on all streaming platforms.
Are you a fan of champagne?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I love champagne.
See, I hate it. Do I like you? It with orange juice and maybe Red Bull.
I like it with
Red
orange
Bull.
Juice too, a little mimosa,
do
you know?
Could you handle like a whole night of champagne on its own? If that was the only thing at the bar?
For sure, definitely. See, but I like to particularly drink it just out of the bottle. You know, I don't like to
Fair.
Like,
with
know.
A straw.
With a straw. No, I got champagne in through a straw once over at the Marc Jacobs store. No, seriously, like my friend was working there. They had these tiny little bottles of Moët.
Yeah, and, see, and they I'm had these all, little I'm neon straws. No, I love champagne.
Yeah?
So much that it became part of my brand, and now it is my album title.
It is your
you know,
album
like,
title,
like
yeah.
Champagne is, you know, it's a celebration drink, you know?
This is true.
And I like to celebrate all the time. So.
Have you ever seen it smashed against a ship?
against the ship.
Yeah, how did that become a thing?
Oh, yeah, that's I don't know, it's
what does it mean, though?
I think it's the maiden voyage.
Something. Okay, yeah, maiden
voyage. So who cleans up the glass as well? Do you reckon they employ someone specifically
I mean,
to clean up?
It would go straight into the water, wouldn't it? Doesn't it smash
against the
ship? Oh, is it off the
side? Oh, yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
So it's going into the sea. So it's a terrible
It's a terrible idea.
Just fuck that.
That's a fucked up idea. They need to stop doing that.
They do need to stop doing that.
Have you ever been to the Champagne region in France?
Okay, I have not. But I am going to go there soon. I actually was going to go there on this trip, but then because I was actually going to go over to Paris and go over to Champagne.
Yeah.
But we just got, you know, some more stuff to do over here, had some shoots, and obviously coming to see you guys as well was part of that. So, but I will be back here very shortly, and then I will be going to the Champagne region.
And is there maybe the thought of doing like different chapters? So maybe moving, like going on to like Prosecco, you know what I mean?
I have
and then, like,
drank.
Cava.
Well, the next project is going to be called Champagne Room, which actually you are the first people to know that. Nobody else knows
that. Because that world exclusive.
You got the exclusive right there. But I have been drinking Prosecco while I've been here just because it seems to be a pretty normal drink.
It's
for
quite
you
prevalent
guys.
Over here.
Yeah, we sell it in pubs here.
In
glass
pubs,
of Prosecco.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
we don't,
weird,
we
not
don't,
weird
we don't
order.
Do that in the States. We don't have like.
Also, girls love Prosecco, which is why I'm sure that's nothing to do with the reason that you've been drinking.
Exactly.
Hey,
Exactly.
Guys do. We
used to win that shit.
Yeah. I don't mean to, you know, I'm not generalizing. A lot of women I know can't say no to the Prosecco.
And I like women, so, you know.
Okay, but Michael Payne and I used to do a pub quiz.
We did.
Where the prize that we always won was Prosecco. Two bottles of Prosecco.
Two bottles of Prosecco.
One straw in each. We have one each. It was
Bang.
Done.
That's
you know
amazing.
I mean.
That was great. Yeah.
I have made a couple jokes while I've been here, like calling, you know, hey, Prosecco Connie's out right now. Just because I'm like out at the club and it's like, oh, or the bar or whatever.
Yeah, you
pub.
Might have.
And
know,
it's like, wait, a whole bottle of Prosecco is only 18 pounds?
What?
That's crazy.
And never mind Prosecco that Carver. Carver Connie's quite good too. And
Carver
that's even cheaper.
Connie.
I mean,
sounds way less trustworthy though, doesn't
it? Even your Moët is cheap. Your Moët sounds is cheap really out here. Trust. Like you go to the pub and you could buy a bottle of Moët for like what, 50 pounds? 60 pounds?
Yeah.
I mean, you could never do that in the States. It would
what?
Never
What's
cost you that
you
low.
Back?
It's like it's about $50 if you buy it, like $40 to $50 if you buy it in the liquor store.
Right.
So if you went out to like a pub, well, first of all, they don't really at pubs and
yes.
bars,
yeah,
they don't really
sell
champagne.
Right,
it's more of like a club thing, right?
Yeah.
So like I mean, if you depending on what club you go to, but those bottles of champagne, I mean, like some clubs are like $1,000
for a bottle of Moët.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, wow. depending on what club you're at, but
yeah.
like if you're at like the high end clubs, like no. I mean, it could run you like you know maybe $500 somewhere like that.
Do you know
that,
who I blame? Sean Paul.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sean Paul.
Yeah.
He made it a thing.
He's actually rinsing. I mean, you're from New York as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Bruv, New York will rinse your pocket if you go out in New York as well. So
yeah, to try and drink.
Oh,
yeah.
You're trying to do this champagne movie in
balling differently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like if you walked into a bar in New York and you asked them for a bottle of Prosecco, They would, no? They wouldn't even know. I mean, I don't even think it would register in their head what you were, even though they know what Prosecco is.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even register in their head, okay, like what you're asking for. Yeah. It's like, we've, yeah, you know, why would we have that here?
Right. Right. But you when know? I ordered wine there, and the I kept making friends in bars because people would look over and be like, no one orders bottles of wine. So they would look over and go like, oh, we get talking to you. They're like, okay, we're going to do that.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it looks
like,
kind of weird.
Like, where are you from?
Are you sure? Yeah. They obviously, they were like, are you British? Like, yeah, obviously, yeah, yeah, of course, that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
But I swear cider in America more times like non-alcoholic as well.
I was going to say,
like,
is word, it's just
different.
Juice.
It's like when you think like lemonade, yeah, yeah, like their lemonade is not like what we think of like,
yeah,
Sprite, 7-Up.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like lemonade's like it's flat.
Same with cider. Cider is like your Thanksgiving drink. Cider,
right. But it's got alcohol in it.
Well, no. Well, cider, yeah, it's like the cider at the bar has alcohol in it.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, if you were just talking to someone and you said like, I want cider, yeah, you, they think of it like apple juice.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like, right, but it's like a pure apple juice. It's not, yeah, like, so like in, you know, you go to the grocery store in New York and you get apple juice and it's like a, you know, shitty bottle of,
yeah,
you know, Mott's or something like, uh-huh, that, right? But cider is like something that you get at like a, you know, like
more
maybe like a cider.
Kind of,
yeah, 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 more organic, exactly.
Right.
And then ciders, as far as like the alcohol drink, is like relatively new. So it's not something that they have, you know, at every bar or every,
yeah,
pub. It's like more of like specific places.
Right.
Like they specifically even actually, I know someone who owns a cidery. So like it's only ciders. Like they,
okay,
don't have other beers. There's no like, right, regular beers. There's no pints of anything else. It's only cider.
I love that.
Yeah.
In America, it's like one or the other.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Extremes, man.
Well, I mean,
none of that mixing the apples with the hops shit.
Yeah, yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah,
one or the other.
Here,
yeah,
is like the drink of like teenagers,
no,
crusty punks,
some,
and like some homeless people.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like
multifaceted
cider,
cider over,
yeah,
here.
Because, yeah, yeah, yeah,
you're right. You've got,
yeah,
White Ace, which is the,
yeah,
kind,
yeah,
of,
yeah,
bottom,
yeah,
of the barrel,
yeah,
if you forgive the pun,
yeah,
like cider. But,
mm,
then you, but then it goes all the, you know, you've got the more scrumpy kind of, you know, there's a real
Kate
culture of,
yeah,
man,
hold on, you're going,
nah,
for
that's
the
a,
work. You're going, that's the,
I'm actually going for like good wholesome middle class cider.
The
man's talking about K.
Black with a red K on it.
When I went to Canada, they love their cider. In fact, one guy was like, this is the champagne of cider. And,
oh,
I really,
wow,
like that description.
Wow.
I really like that description.
Of cider.
The,
yeah,
champagne,
yeah, yeah,
of cider.
And it was nice.
Smash that against a ship.
Yeah.
It's just a carton.
Bam.
Tuesday Takeover with Andrea Di Giovanni on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's me, Andrea Di Giovanni, and I have co-hosting with me the fabulous Shah Bailey. Hey, Shah.
Ms. Vanjie. I'm sorry. We've just been talking about Ms. Vanjie for the last half an hour, and it's just in my head.
Amazing. So basically, I am a singer-songwriter and an LGBTQ+ activist. I have been releasing a lot of music in the past 5 years in London.
Bang.
We're going to play a little bit of that later on the show. And I managed to get to play London Pride at the main stage. It was amazing. I played Birmingham Pride this year, which was super, super, super lovely.
What did you think of Birmingham Pride? Because, you know, I'm from Birmingham.
Ooh, I absolutely love Birmingham Pride. The vibe was incredible. And I super appreciated the fact that they put a lineup of DIY up-and-coming queer artists, because no Tino shade or maybe a little bit of shade there. But there's not many other Pride that actually do that. So I was super, super happy to see that. And also, I've recently started up this incredible new no-profit organization, and we fight for queer liberation, which is called Voices for London.
Yeah,
and we
love
host
that.
We host open meeting fortnightly. So if you ever feel interested, feel free to contact me or go and at Voices for London on Instagram. And then Shah, tell us a bit more about you. What do you do?
Well, by trade, I'm a life coach. This is my bread and butter. But I do lots. So I work with UK Black Pride as an educations officer.
Amazing.
Which is so important, because I, until a couple of years ago, I didn't have a clue about my blackness. And I was like, being mixed, being black is, you know, it can be a little bit of a difficult subject. You sort of don't know which part you fit in. So learning all about my blackness through UK Black Pride has been amazing. I do a little bit of motivational speaking, keynote speaking. I run events for guided meditations.
Yes.
So you can come and get your Zen on with me. And, you know, just being a visible black lesbian woman, so that,
yes,
people can look up to me and say, oh, hey, you can be a black lesbian woman and that's absolutely okay. You can, you know, have your best life.
So important, honestly, and that's why I'm so pleased to have you with me today. So we're going to talk a lot of things about the queer community. We have the incredible Dan Crossley. Hey,
what's
Dan?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. What about you?
Yeah, I'm good. Nice and hot.
Fabulous.
Thanks.
And you also smell lovely.
Yeah, no, I know that the listeners can't smell because it's
exactly
not smeller radio.
No, last time
amazing.
I was in this very chair, they said the same thing. So really? Thank you.
Have you worn the thank same you, I feel cologne? Very,
I feel very complimented on myself.
Well, so, I was reading about you, actually. Well, you know, ooh, as you do. And it said that some of your inspirations are people like Stevie Wonder, George Michael, yes, Amy Winehouse, Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And they're all people who've lived, have got stories to tell.
Yeah, yeah. So, for me, it's just like growing up with singers, like surrounding myself with the music of like singers that had something to say and always had input on their writing was so important to my artistry. And now I think even though my music is, you know, a little bit of a future note, my new music is going to be a lot, ooh, more pop based as compared to Closure, which is very much heavily R&B.
Yeah,
it's, you know, being still pop based but still, you know, real and raw with the lyrics. Yeah. And yeah, the melodies also go back to that, you know, Motown era as well.
Ooh. And is that just like a reflection of your journey? Have you sort of grown out of R&B and grown more into pop? Or where did that come from?
I just feel like I've always enjoyed, you know, lots of different aspects of different genres. And I feel like it's so important to realise that it's okay to grow and change sometimes. I feel like a lot of artists, well, you will know, it's always, oh, you've got to be R&B, you've got to be, yeah, this. Whereas, like, how about you let the voice lead and the writing lead?
100%, 100%. Like, obviously, as a fellow artist, I really can empathise with what you're saying, because, like, sometimes also, like, feel like the industry just trying to box you into something, so you do that for thing, sure, and then just people expect you to just keep on milking just that same thing. Although, you know, you see also major, you know, pop artists who, throughout the album cycles, they just change, mm-hmm, their sounds, they evolve. They're always themselves, and you can tell by the way they write. You know,
exactly,
you know that Katy Perry writes in that type of way, in, mm-hmm, that teenage dream sort of bubble, so there's, mm-hmm, no need to be stuck into something. And also, like, again, I think it's important to stress that, you know, besides labels and everything, music is what really brings people together. Like, mm-hmm, whatever is your sexuality, whatever you sleep with, how you identify, that doesn't change a thing. Like, people resonate to the music, to the, yeah, lyrics, to those experiences that are relatable.
I had, yeah, so many situations, like, even just a couple of years ago, which was so crazy, being a gay man in the music industry and being young and gay and in a predominantly, you know, straight industry, especially in the, yeah, R&B world.
Yeah. Oh,
my Lord. Like,
yeah,
you know, I had situations where I was told to change he to her and, you know, lyrically in my songs and whatnot, because it would, you know, open up to more people. And I got to the point where I was just like, I need to really reassess who I'm around, mm, and go back to Dan and just do me. Because if I like what I'm doing and a couple of other people like it, a couple of other 100,000 people are going to like it too. Yeah. And that's what's going to bring people together, being your authentic self and just doing you. Boo.
No, honestly, like, 100%.
I feel like that was a moment for a sound effect. Just doing you, being your authentic self. I love that.
We love,
yeah,
that.
Let's be like, ding.
That's how we do it up in here.
Exactly, exactly. No, honestly, like, I can honestly empathize with you so, so much. Because, you know, the music industry likes to play that they are open. But then when you actually go deep down, mm, those alleys and those corners, you actually realize that they're still not very open about, you know, having an openly queer person out there. And especially they're not very happy when we speak up about social issues, because,
yeah,
in their own mind they sort of separate us from a mainstream type of audience, mm-hmm, and for some weird reason, you know, you can get people talking about straight issues and that's fine, but then when we want to bring our own agenda in, we're almost trying to brainwash them, or we're trying to force our views onto,
yeah,
other people,
which is very strange considering we still don't have much of a voice. So, yeah,
well, I know that strange. Gay Times released their Amplified with collaboration,
yeah,
with
so
Apple
exciting.
Music, which is so exciting. Shout out Gay Times and all those, yeah, boys. Yeah, I love, yeah, y'all. And, you know, that's everywhere now. You've got people like King Princess on there. You've got Moon on there. And I'm ashamed to say, but I didn't even know some of these artists.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I can literally click on my Apple Music. I've got you on my Apple Music now too.
Sis.
Yes. Thank you, thank you.
You're listening to Foodbar Radio.
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. young. Banks instill supremacy. Take it to extremities. Can't be poisoned by your noise and always got our remedy. Microphone is weaponry. Rapper skills legendary. Bust a nut on these sluts only cause it's necessary. Polo weather never shoving. Tops of bitches I'll be bagging. Undefeated, quite conceited. Many times y'all catch me bragging. Can't a motherfuckers walking without pants sagging. Pioneer this brand. Y'all upon my bandwagon. Fire breather dragon. Disastrous microphone abusing. Mix my poison lyrics with street life hip hop abusing. Choosing in a Lamborghini. Sipping on the drama teeny. Hood niggas saw me. They thought they saw a Lamborghini. My logo got carved inside your limestone. My mind has grown across five time zones. Bobby shake to the quake of a drum track. Make no mistake, after this you wanna jump back. Jump back, jump back, nigga, jump back. Got enough funk and skunk to fill a dump truck. Pump up your fist to this or you get lumped up. Immaculate conception. You thought you had life, but that was just my reflection. I'm circumcised, thoughts I pray through protection. Sterilized mind, I'm immune to infections. So make a U-turn before you burn, you churn. I don't give a fuck what you earn. This is hip-hop, soup, soup, talk, fuck, sperm. Get him out of here. Bitches still, take him back, take him out of here. Bitches still, put your motherfucker hands up in the air. I said put your fucking hands in the air.
Samurai sports spitter, bigger alternator, detonator, orchestrator. The heat's on the microwave, dark better take a shave. Park up in the valley, the phantom pulling town square, get out with valleys. I take your girl inside checkers in the valley, they say she a stallion. The half pump with 40 gallons, they see me arc two parked up in Parkview. Men drumming out, workout, I can't slouch, women see the muscles. The flexing on the couch, I'm Billy Rayon. Toyota spot, low key gas station, get gas. You see the Avalon, bubble meeked up, I charge coats and Paragon. If she fall, I tell her go sew a hair on. Stare on and drive out, the cat scratch your eyes out. I take my sword on board, the G4 and fly out. The Rolls Royce decapitate and throw your head out. Mexican Rodell, you see the cartel. Helmets on the first team in the foxholes with triple beams. Magna Cartier watch, I'm tall as Chris Bosh. How you like to fit it? Moving, spin a watch.
Never shoving tops with bitches, I'll be back. Let the music play, slow down the gunplay. Let you move for 6K. Destroy you in one day with just words. Reverse the SMA with sword. I love myself. How can I stress abroad? I face everyday calamities. It's calm as a swan on a pond. Run 48 straight without a yawn. You trapped on G8 and checkmate with a pawn. Bobby Steele's gotta see the swing on a lawn. In a pool in the back, I dread it. Selling cracks, I was good at flipping packs. Fiends kept coming back. Boots and leather back for Gucci's cock got me on my foot, I come to learn. I can earn more from a book. I blow one foot down who passed me, then I outgrows my classmen. Hip-hop music, I love it with a passion. It ain't nothing like hip-hop music. We like it, cause we choose it. Whether program samples or acoustic, I got you in a puzzle cube like a Rubik's. And at the way where you feel tired, high-end records you perspire. Banks and still, banks and still. Now at the way where you feel tired, hot and records you perspire, banks and still, banks and still. Get him out of here. Banks and still, take him back, take him out of here. Banks and still, put your motherfucker hands up in the air. I said put your fucking hands in the air. Banks and still, banks and still.
FUBAR Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by Lloyd Griffith. You also do impressions, don't you?
No. No, come on.
But you do, though, don't you?
I do impressions of sellotape.
Okay, so Christopher Lee is expecting Ian McKellen round any minute now. Ian McKellen is early, and Christopher Lee hasn't wrapped Ian McKellen's birthday present yet.
So it's improv.
Yeah.
I think that I would like to leave the tape up to you.
Are you too pissed? What is going on?
Every Friday.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
From 12 PM.
FUBAR Radio.
Joined in the studio now by singer?
Yeah.
Actor?
Yeah.
What else?
All-round good human being?
General all-rounder. Bronte Barbe.
It's a great name.
Thanks.
Where's your fucking name from?
Oh, it's jokes, isn't it? It is fully my actual name. People always go,
What do you call the thing? It's not a grav, is it? It's
an accent?
An accent. On both of the E's.
Both of the
Bronte
E's.
Barbe.
Where's it come from?
Yeah, Barbe comes from French. It means bearded one, apparently. Cool.
It means what?
Bearded one.
Bearded?
Yeah. Like the one with the beard. You know when you see candy floss?
Yeah.
If you get it in Paris, I just came back from Paris.
Ah.
And it's called like...
Barbe?
Barbe, oh, something or other.
Whereabouts in Paris like did you see this candy floss?
At Disneyland.
Did you go?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, it's great, right?
I went for 2 days. That is it. I took my pregnant sister to Disneyland.
Was stuff open?
A lot of stuff wasn't open.
Fucking unbelievable, right? So,
I mean, luckily, we got in with a cast member, which was very lucky because it was going to be lots of money for tickets. But
yeah, I got off with
job.
A cast member.
God's sake. Grumpy. Well, there you go. Grumpy. Cute.
But he was after.
He was after.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah,
didn't finish him off.
Oh, crying out loud. Not in Disney.
I did. Of course I did. I'm a very generous lover.
Of course I did. But yeah, Disney with my sister. All the rides you could do were off, so that's quite infuriating.
I can't remember when I went. I went at September time and Indiana Jones wasn't on. All of the things that were vaguely roller coastery,
yeah, like Phantom
were off.
Lana. That's just come back, but she couldn't go on that.
So it's August now, right? So
mm-hmm.
when is it open? When are all the rides
well,
open?
Well, I mean, loads of them have been refurbished. All the ones that were safe for pregnancy.
They're not building anything Star Wars-y, are they? Because they're doing the Star Wars lands over in...
Yeah, they have got like a little Star Wars bit, but we couldn't go on it because of mold.
Well, you could have gone on
it. I could have gone on it, but I did go on one ride. I went on Ratatouille in the studios on my
That's
own.
Quite good, right?
Quite good. Quite enjoyed it, yeah. It's one of those flat floor ones that like whizzes you around and there's big old screens.
You're not on a teapot.
You're in like a rat or a mouse.
Yeah. You're inside a rat.
And then you're getting chased by brooms and stuff because
yeah.
you're going all the way
yeah,
around
yeah,
the kitchen.
Yeah, it's all the screens and you're like, ooh.
I mean, it's really kind of cool. Oh, except for when I went on it, the ride broke down halfway through and we were sat there for ages.
What, just in there? Like?
Just in, you know, in a rat, in a kitchen and all the screens froze. But it was interesting because you could actually look around and go.
It was cool, yeah. You can. I think
and see
that
how
you can
it was
see
made.
How it works.
Yeah,
like,
I found that fascinating.
Because they move you like, and they bring you all back. There's like three carriages in there at once and they bring you all back and look at your screen and then you all go off and do the same experience over there.
So there's screens
cool.
and giant props and then you're being like moved around, but you're not actually being moved around as fast as you think you're being moved
around.
Or
very around. Far even. You're
okay.
Like
yeah.
Just in one route. Quite cool, yeah.
It's really cool the way they do all that. I love all that stuff.
The amount of merch in Disney, it's like 80% shops, isn't it?
Bombarded.
So we did a lot of walking around shops because obviously she could.
Yeah.
But they've got Disney Pride this weekend. No.
Oh, yeah.
Or it would have been Disney Pride. Now we're in August.
And what's
massive.
Disney Pride?
It's just like a Pride celebration, but at Disney.
That's fucking great.
It's really cool. However, I did see a petition online by this woman, I can't remember her name, who launched it to like stop
people.
It. You know,
don't
you're like, stop. It was like, don't do this to our children. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
It's not for the children.
It's not for
is
the
it?
Children, no. It's
well,
a,
I suppose it
it's
is.
Like after hours, though. It's I think the concert is after
I
hours. You know?
It is for the children. In actual fact, it's good to see, oh, my God, people are fucking pricks, aren't
they? I know. Arseholes. Well, I thought they'd started selling the ears and stuff, like with the pride flag on them. And I was like, this is amazing. And I saw loads of kids walking around with them. And I was thinking, well, they probably don't know what they're for.
I think it is really good, but I do also think it's cynical. But then I also think that LGBTQ should have the opportunity to be ripped off just like everyone else. It's 90% good, but then for us, it's probably 100% good for us as people. But for Disney, there is sort of like a cynicism about it.
There might be like a...
And when you go to Disneyland and every single ride exits into this huge fucking shop.
Yeah, I know. It's mad. You spend a lot of money and the burgers are like 16 euros.
Well, I remember that we couldn't drink alcohol without buying a food purchase. So we had to buy fucking chicken nuggets every time we wanted
every
a beer.
Every time you want a drink, yeah.
You just have to allow it. You just have to go, I'm not going to do this every year.
Oh my God, yeah. You just have to go, I'm just going to spend all the money on a three-course dinner at Mickey's restaurant.
Are you a Disney fan? Disney
we
person?
We are. We really do bond over Disney because we used to always watch it as kids. We're very different. I mean, Molly's quite gothy and I'm definitely not gothy now.
You're more Ariel and she's more Ursula.
Essentially, yeah. Disney villains is her jam more, I'd say. Like, but yeah, but it was good. It was good. We watched the parade. We stood in front of the fireworks. That was
the
like,
fireworks are incredible.
Fireworks.
You didn't
so
watch
good.
The Pride parade?
No, because that's not until Saturday. I think that's like a one-day only thing.
What's your favourite
okay.
film?
My favourite film? film. I like a variety of films, but as soon as we're on Disney, and I'm going to go for The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, fucking yeah. Hell. David Spade's best film, second best film next to
It's unbelievable.
Tommy Boy. The Emperor's New Groove is brilliant.
Such a good film. It's so underrated.
It's like 70 minutes, I think.
It's not that long.
In and out.
Really, really funny. It's got Tom Jones and Eartha Kitt in it. I think it's really fucking good.
It's so good.
What's nice about it is that it's not like really heavy-handed with any sort of message.
No.
And I mean, I don't talk about him as much as I probably want to, but I love David Spade so much. Like, what's your favourite TV show?
Can I have lots? No, I can have one.
It's not that hard.
It's not that difficult. I mean, I've watched Friends a lot, obviously. Yeah, sure. That's sure. Easy, isn't it? You're
sure.
Like, that's a giver.
Yeah. I'm not into Friends.
Not Friends. I like true crime drama, so. Not okay?
No.
That's not okay.
Just
keep going.
Eat your heart out with Nick Helm. Just say it. It's a great show. Okay. Seven repeats.
Eat
it's on Dave.
Eat your heart out with Nick Helm.
See what I've been watching
Uncle?
This week.
Yeah,
okay, that would have been better.
Uncle gets enough.
Okay. Okay, cool. Enough push on that one.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm into quite niche TV programs, but
I like you're saying it wrong as well. I like nice TV programs as well.
But Netflix have this thing called Instant Home. I think that's what it's called. It's like Airbnb, but in Australia. Okay. And they like you rate their home. It's like four in a bed, okay?
Right, yeah.
But in Australia.
What?
So good. You need to watch it.
Well, I'll give that a go. Okay. What's it called?
I think it's called Instant Home.
Instant Home.
Something like that. I probably got it completely wrong.
It's called Instant Hotel.
Instant Hotel.
Well, it's been That's lovely. It's been lovely having you on, Bronte.
Thank you for coming.
You've got 10 seconds. What are you up to next?
I'm doing Oklahoma at Chichester.
Oh, that's
for the whole
fucking
summer.
Great. The
Bring
first.
What a beautiful morning.
Sure, we haven't
Bang
got time.
On.
Me too. I'm in. Can I audition for this?
I think it might be cast, but
covers. Got time for this.
Covers.
Ain't got time for this.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
John Grant. Welcome to the
Hello.
Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Joey.
Do you feel you are appreciated enough in the music business? You're like a genius in music, so.
Thank you for the fantastic compliments. I don't feel particularly great at what I do, so it's always nice to hear that. I don't know, I don't feel like I'm allowed to have an opinion about that. I think I'm probably getting what I can handle. I wonder if I would be able to take the kind of attention that some people get.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
My name's Ellie Bleach, and I'm filling in for Joey Page while he's away gallivanting in Edinburgh Fringe Festival, I believe. Thanks, Africa is here with me. Oh, some nice live slapping.
ASMR hours.
Oh, we should have done an ASMR show. That would have been brilliant, wouldn't
it? Yeah, if you just turn down the music.
I am Links Africa.
No, I can't do that. I'm not quiet enough for that. But let me.
I'm just going to sip this tea.
Sorry about that, listeners.
I get freaked out when ASMR people have. They'll be like chewing something while they're talking.
Yeah.
So you have the. That's the opposite of ASMR for me. That's
really?
Like. I do like ASMR.
Do you?
Yeah.
I've never got into it yet. It's meant to relax you. Or it's meant to unrelax you.
No, it's meant to relax you. So.
Is it? Because it just doesn't do. To me, it puts my shoulders raised and my skin. I get goosebumps and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is quite nice.
It's meant to be like. Do you remember when people used to say eargasm about like.
Yeah, exactly.
It's basically an. You know, an eargasm of. It stands for autosensory meridian response.
Yeah, that's the one.
There are lots of ASMR videos that are like role plays in a certain situation. You could be in a straight club doing ASMR. So it'd be like the clinking of beers together.
Like, what, like a silent straight club.
Yeah, silent disco.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love silent discos. I think they have for too long been marginalised by the 8 to 12 year old demographic.
Yeah.
I think. I think it's time for them to branch out a bit. And festivals when it gets too late.
Oh, is that why?
Was it
born out of like a necessity?
It's sound restriction, isn't it? It means you can have a party and the neighbours are still chill with it. That's what I was led to believe, but.
Perhaps a silent party is the future.
It's the future's now. What are you talking about?
I mean, not just a disco, as in like a house party.
Oh, I guess like if you know, when we've got like earbuds and stuff, you could properly just, and you know, maybe not even have to talk. That would be easy. wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You didn't even have to talk.
So I'm guessing you've been to one because I haven't.
A silent disco?
Yeah. What's the sound like when you take your headphones off? Do you just hear
it's
like...
It's really strange. You hear like a bit of talking, obviously, quite a lot of laughing, and then the sound of like dancing, I guess.
Can you hear people moving? Like, would you be able to, if you just heard the people dancing, would you be able to detect the beat?
Well, normally, see, this is I'm now showing that I know a weird amount about silent discos. They've normally got a few channels on the headphones. Yeah, so you'd be able to kind of choose. There's normally like one that's maybe cheesy, then one that's clubby, and then if you're at sort of a wedding or something, there'll be kind of like a dad rock one, that kind of thing. And so I guess you'd get a kind of polyrhythm of the different tempos and beats, and yeah. And there's also the great thing where, you know, people will be singing along to one song and you'll have like dancing queen vocals and you'll have deep and sound deep yeah at the same time, which is kind of, I'm still a bit undecided on them, to be honest with you, because the headphones are never loud enough.
Yeah,
that's the main problem.
You need them to be hurting your ears.
Yeah, so it feels like a real club.
Yeah.
Mm.
How have you been? Have I asked
Excellent.
You?
Excellent. No, you haven't yet. Not yet. I've been very good. I have been at Shambhala Festival this weekend.
Ooh.
Not playing. I've been working on the bar, but that's in some ways even more glamorous, I'd say. Yeah, no, but it was bloody wonderful.
Is so Shambhala the kind of hippie one? Or
very,
is that like what
which,
it started
What do you
out?
Mean the hippie one? It's one of the hippie ones. It's very, and it was hilarious, actually. Good story. I think my friend won't mind me saying this if I keep her anonymous. One of my friends needed a pad on one of the days and we were wandering around the place like, okay, there's got to be somewhere we're at the hippiest festival in the world, like surely there's like a period tent or something like that. So we found the Vagina Dome, of course,
obviously.
What else would it be? And we walk in and we're like, oh my god, thank god we found you, my friend really needs a pad, do you have anything? And she was like, sadly we actually don't have any pads, but if you come along tomorrow morning we're weaving some. And we were like, oh great, that's the
well,
most
how long would that take?
Yeah, exactly. How long will it take? Can I wait tomorrow morning? Probably not. So that's the most Shambhala thing
yeah.
I've ever seen in my life, but it was very yeah it was a lovely
Sorry,
weekend
yeah.
though.
So maybe we should talk about you.
Yeah, sure, let's talk about me.
So
difficult.
So how has the release of Straight Acting gone down? Because I haven't really seen you since then.
It's gone very well, yeah. It's been lovely. I mean, you know, before, I'm still very small fish, but I think what's great about Straight Acting is that because it is aimed at such a particular demographic and kind of the, you know, as sort of an LGBT empowerment anthem and also being something that's very much made for the kind of drag scene and stuff like that, it's been really great in that it's had quite big ripples in some lovely small ponds that I'm very invested in. So like I went up to Edinburgh in February before it had come out and performed it and then released it quite soon after that, and it's just had brilliant massive impact in Edinburgh. It's like pretty much the most listened to place weirdly, and there's a bunch of amazing drag queens like Transgender, Mystica Glamour, who are like performing Straight Acting at their clubs and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And it's the most surreal thing in the world, but I love it. I'm happy. It seems to be going down really well, and made a video which was so much fun as well. It's been great. I'm just excited to put more stuff out, to be honest. I'm very proud
of
it.
Yeah, that's such a lovely induction,
isn't it? Yeah. I think, and it's like, obviously I'm, you know, it's such early days, but I think for a song that, you know, is still obviously very small, I think it's the best way that a small song kind of could have gone, because it seems the people that are listening to it are exactly the people that I wanted to listen to it. And for everything else, just follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, SoundCloud, all of those. It's Links Africa, LYNKSAFRIKKA. Follow me everywhere. Mwah, thank you.
Oh, I guess he's leaving then.
Oh, no. The screen
I mean,
has
maybe
told
it's
me
time
something.
For me to play a song.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
It's been lovely.
It's been lovely for me too. Bye, Links.
Bye.
You're listening to Foo Bar Radio.